Hi everyone, I am very happy that you are here today, and today we're going to go over the overview of the SPLAT curriculum. And in module one, which was the first lesson, is where you'll find what you need for the class and a pre-class meditation for success to get your creative juices flowing. Many older beginner artists have suffered trauma around their endeavors to become artists. Some even go into what I call art freeze and don't pick up a paintbrush for years. So we're going to easily overcome these issues because the 10 steps are so simple. So what are the 10 steps? One is rags to riches, caring of your art tools. And I call it rags to riches because when you do take care of your paintbrushes and your paints, then you create jewels on your canvas, and you need a lot of rags to do that. So two, we're going to go over brushes and texture. Like I said, I'm keeping this simple. So any brushes will do, a variety of brushes, fan brushes, whatever brushes you want. Three will be color. This is a huge and vast topic, and I'm going to narrow it down into a nice, clean art class with nice, clean colors. Then four would be tone. Five is drawing. We all need to learn how to draw if we're going to paint. Again, making it very simple. Six is composition. Composition is all about where things are placed on the canvas, where the eye is led around the canvas, etc., etc. You might want to start looking through some art books and observing the compositions in the paintings for now. You can do composition through light and shadow. You can do it through elements. There are many ways to create beautiful, harmonious compositions. Number seven is light and shadows, which I love. I teach that we have our own sun that orbits around our own little planet head. And so you always know where the light is falling in your painting, if you're painting from the imagination. Then eight is proportion. Proportion is overrated, and it's not that scientific as you may think. There are some basic proportions, but many, many people are very, very, very different. And I'll teach how to purposefully deviate from the scientific proportions into producing figures that you would like to portray. For instance, I like to paint blue people with tiny little heads and long limbs. It's all up to the individual what proportion is when you paint. Then number nine is perspective, which sounds really boring, but it's actually quite a little eye popper of a lesson because you pick it up really quickly and you see how easy it really is. And then there's number 10, which are the inspiration methods, because nobody could ever create anything beautiful without being truly inspired. And then, of course, the bonus at the end is the grand finale, which is actually painting. It might be your first canvas, or you might be visiting a canvas again after a long, long hiatus away from painting. And some of the most inspired paintings are done in a day, even an hour. So we're going to make the shift within your body and your consciousness that you are an artist. And I have that meditation that I can send everyone if they would like to read it before the class. And I include a lot of positive manifestations in my teachings. Of course, my secret ingredient is how to connect with the cosmos to find divine inspiration. And the simplicity of my teaching method. And I do not teach what to paint, I teach how to paint. I teach how to hold all the basics in your head at the same time when you approach the canvas. Sort of like a checklist. You can even put a checklist up next to your canvas and keep referring to it as you paint. People think that art is being able to draw or paint properly, in quotes. We have been taught that art is a skill, when in fact it is an innate part of every human. Humans dance before they walk, they sing before they speak, and they draw before they write. Then, when someone latches onto a style that people like, that is all they paint from then on out, in that style, because it was approved by an external source. We could do so much better than that. We are asked to bring only our imagination to art class. Again, this is often an external source, not of ourselves, for the imagination is bombarded on a daily basis with a vast and perpetual media delivering subliminal messages into our psyches from TV, video games, ads, etc., ad nauseum. The best way to mine your true imagination is to go within. Everyone has a connection to Source. Our higher selves communicate with us when we sleep, without our even knowing it. We are tapped into Source, which is evident when we get sudden bursts of inspiration from nowhere or, like they say, out of the blue, which really means from the cosmos. Humans can be deeply inspired by so many things, so I will be teaching you how to take that inspiration and turn it into the unique art that is you. Oh, what I want to get into now as well is, why are these lessons audio only? Because any visual that I show you would interrupt your individual process of creation. And humans have a tendency to copy or compare their work against a standard that they see. When you have no visual to compare your work to, whatever you create is yours and yours alone. Whatever you create comes from your inner being and your essence alone, without any exterior influence. If you are taking this course in order to learn to teach art yourself, this will not apply, as you will be in demonstration mode and relaying the lessons by example using art tools. So just bear that in mind. And I wanted to tell you how lucky I am, because I had an Auntie Reenie when I was very young. She recognized the talent in me and she nurtured it. And she would send me art supplies from England to South Africa. And she told me that one day I would grow up to be a famous artist. And because I was so young, I believed her and I thought, oh, there must be only about another 25 artists in the world, and I thought I had a pretty good chance. So I actually grew up believing that one day I would be a famous artist, and it really helped me. So maybe in the back of your mind you can configure something like that to motivate you. And every human being is unique, and so too is their expression. So my lessons are going to find that original expression and shine a light on it so that it can flourish. For children, their inner inspiration is best left to express itself without any exterior ideological contamination other than the basics. So I seek to keep the sacred craft of art alive and thriving in an ever-expanding digital world that has eliminated the hands-on, get-muddy process. Every step I teach is vital, simple, and easy to understand. And even a young child can go from scribbling on a tiny piece of paper to being really confident in painting that full-size canvas in a very short time once the initial stepping stones to covering the lessons from paper to canvas have been traversed. So once you have learned color, tone, composition, light, proportion, perspective, inspiration methods, brush types, texture, and the care of art tools, you will have everything you will ever need to go in any direction you wish and also consciously deviate from it. These aspects of art are taught very simply. I cannot say that enough. So I hope you do decide that you are an artist, because we know that all humans are creative by nature. So any person given the right tools and solid grounding in any discipline will thrive in their innate interests, and the instruments of art are relatively easy to obtain too. Anyone can teach art effectively with the very basic tools and knowledge, as you will see in the lessons. And I've listened to many art student stories about their art experiences in public schools, and I see a lot of room for improvement. And for instance, I would never have a student copy anything. I would like to see what original stuff they have inside them to come out. So anyone following my step-by-step guide should have success, especially if you're teaching a child or a student. So I've used these methods to teach kids from 4 to 15, because once you are shown the basics step by step, there's an aspiring artist that's ready to launch themselves into their very own world of art, which is a complete expression of their soul essence and originality. So once the creative spark is lit, it can be amplified to all areas of life. It doesn't end with painting. You can take it into your gardening, you can take it into your cooking, your environment, design. Everything in life has room for creative enhancement. And art trains the creative synapses in the brain to apply imagination to any endeavor. Artistry is the elastic band of holistic discipline. You know, whoever you are teaching, or if you're learning, you have to remember to have fun doing it. Because really, seriousness stifles the flame of spirit and laughter fuels it. So we must remember to let the bubbles of creative ecstasy pop into everything you do. And it's really interesting, you know, most people, they say, I can't even draw a stick figure. Yet, then they'll go to an abstract art show and they'll say, I could do that. What a joke. So which is it? It's easy to learn to paint. And I think the label talented is somewhat of a misnomer, because art is too vast to standardize. And every human being by divine right is creative, so there are not just a few talented people. And there's that lack of riches fable associated with art, which culls the field. And there's the intellectual hubris, which I feel is unnecessary to the art world in general. So the very act of creation places humans in direct contact with the cosmos from which comes all divine inspiration. So we must honor the people with the innate gift of creativity and the courage to express it. So I honor you for being here, and I honor your courage to express your creativity. And also, you know, if we learn to teach art, it is our children who are going to take this world forward in creative evolution. Because creation is a multidimensional biosystem that is readily available to all. So when you think about it, the opposite of war is creation, not peace. Because war, by definition, is destructive. And the process of making art can also connect our subconscious with other dimensions, Because when we're painting, you get so focused and so into it, you lose time in the process. So these lessons are for those children who will take us into the future of humanity's creative evolution. For all the people that thought they were artists when they were kids and it got snuffed out of them. And actually passing on true wisdom to our children in any area of learning is sacred work indeed, which we should not take lightly. Because when a child shows an interest in anything, they're actually showing you their soul map. So it is with art. Artistic expression is a vast and wondrous landscape without end. So expressing creativity from a place of divine inspiration is a vital gift to all of humanity. So we must never be afraid to create. People are actually afraid of creating, which is why I called this class Color to Canvas, because I want you to get to a place where you just go right up to that canvas and you know exactly what you're doing and you're not at all intimidated by the size of it and the blankness of it. So also what we have to bear in mind, that creating is a very sacred process, and if you're a teacher, you need to establish a relationship of trust with your students, which is what I'm trying to do right now. And then the best way to do one-on-one tuition is to spend the first lesson developing the artist-student relationship, which is what I'm doing right now. And I'm laying down the groundwork of what will be accomplished and the plan forward, from drawing on paper to finally painting a canvas. So have fun with this. And as I said, there's nothing more stifling to creativity than a serious atmosphere. Lightheartedness enhances the flow of creativity. Laughter feeds creative confidence. So I just want to let you know right off the bat that no art is better than any other art. It's just different. This immediately eliminates the sword of competition that has cut out the enthusiasm of many a student when one person's art is singled out as a shining example, which then in turn creates a herd mentality where all the students seek to copy the lauded example and end up stifling the individual's creativity and natural process. So, as an art teacher, I would never opt to physically correct a student's art. I think it's in violation of the sanctity of that person's imagination and their creative process and their space. So, you know, to a beginner artist, a big line or a correction over what they've made can be very damaging, you know, as they're just starting out on their art journey. So I leave you alone to finish what is coming through for you. And when you're working on your own artistic endeavor, I believe it should never be violated by the hand of the teacher's corrections. So, along another vein, if I'm showing you how to do something on my own canvas, that's a different matter. And it also invites artistic cooperation between me and the student. So also when I'm having a class doing an art exercise together where they're all learning the same lesson, it's the only time really that the artist's or the student's art will look similar because they're undergoing the same lesson. Other than that, when you get to the end, you'll be creating on your own. So thanks for listening to the introduction and the overview, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can with the first lesson, which will be Rags to Riches.